good.
Yes, sir.
I don't know about you, but he's been good to me despite me or in spite of me. Amen. Take your Bibles tonight and turn with me to Psalms chapter number 9 and keep it open. I'm just going to read through a few verses of Psalms and a few verses in Proverbs. And I was kind of going this direction this morning. I felt the Lord wanted me to do something else. Am I on? I guess I am. I thought about some things that we've been through this past year. This is our last service. Well, not really. Wednesday night will be our last service of 2008. And I thought about some of the things, some of the times that we have went through together this year. The funeral times that we've went through, the sickness times and the cancer times. But then I thought about the good times that we've had together this year. I thought about the Sunday night. It's been, about a year ago, I baptized 40-something people one Sunday night. I thought, man, that's a good time. Amen? And I thought about our camp meeting and just different things, just some times that we've been through together. And I thought about, there was a scripture in Psalms, and I wasn't exactly sure what it said, but I knew it had that word times in it. So I started looking it up, and I found out in Proverbs and in Psalms, 16 different times that word times is used, T-I-M-E-S, times. Now, we know from the past the kind of times that we've walked through this past year. But I want to tell you some times that we'll probably walk through this year. And some times we probably will walk through, and then there's some times we probably should walk through. Psalms chapter number 9, and I'm going to look at verse number 9. Now watch this. Are you there? Say amen.
Amen.
The Bible said in Psalms 9 and verse 9, the Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of, say that next word with me,
trouble.
You know, you and I can probably, it would be wise if we just went ahead and expected some trouble times this year. Amen. I don't mean to sound doom and gloom, but I don't think the economy's getting better. I don't think we've seen the worst of it. I don't think I've had the last man in our church say I lost my job this week. I don't know where this thing is going. I feel assuredly we will have troubled times in our future. Amen? I believe that. You said, preacher, that's scary. Yeah, but for the child of God, he said we got a refuge. For the child of God in troubled times, there is a place or a person that you and I can run to. I'm glad when the trouble comes, we have a hiding place. Amen. I'm glad we can rejoice even at the funeral home over a loved one that's gone on to be in heaven. I'm glad even though the doctor gives a bad report, we can rejoice. Why? Because we have a refuge in times of trouble.
Amen.
You know what our problem is? We want to run everywhere else instead of to Him. Amen. But if we'd just run to Him when the trouble comes, if we'd just run to Him at the first hint of trouble, we'd be way, way better off.
Amen.
I guarantee you those troubled times are coming. Some of you are in them right now. Some of you are fighting battles like you never have in your entire life. Some of your finances are in worse shape than they ever have been. You don't know where the next check's coming from. You don't even know where the next meal's coming from. Troubled times. I'm glad we have a refuge. I'm glad we have a refuge. When the doctors looked at a 26-year-old mother and said, you've got cancer in your throat, you've got cancer on your brain, you've got cancer in your lungs and liver, you're eat up from head to toe with one of the most aggressive cancers we have ever seen. That's a blow. But to have those same doctors look at her 12 months later and say, the cancer in your throat is gone. The cancer that was on your brain is gone. The cancer that was on your lungs and liver is gone. Hallelujah. What's that? That's that refuge, that place we can run to in our times of trouble. Amen. Aren't you glad? Hey, he's not just a crutch, but he is a crutch. Amen. Some people don't talk about the Lord till they get in trouble. And I've heard them talk about spare tire religion. You just grab Jesus out of the trunk when you need him. But I'm glad he's not only that, but he is that. He wants us to lean on him. Amen. Amen. We ought to lean on Him. Why? Because He is our refuge in times of trouble.
Amen.
If it weren't for the trouble in our lives, would we ever call on Him? Give that some serious thought. If it weren't for the hard times in our life, would we ever call on Him? I sat in the prayer room tonight and I thought about it. I don't know, I probably got 20 or so prayer requests from the men in the prayer room. And every one of them is a need of some sort. I've got Justin Fernander, 12-year-old boy, had a horrible four-wheeler accident and he's all broken up. I've got Ashley Hofford and Lori Powell who will have chemo treatments this week. I've got a family that is out of church and really struggling. I've got trouble that's going on in one of our men's family. I've got, a lady with thyroid tumor or a tumor on her thyroid. Got a girl that I went to high school with. I don't know her last name now, but it was Pam Gray. She's on life support down in Birmingham, Alabama. I've got a teenage girl who had a drug overdose. We've got the nursing home ministry where the patients are sick. We've got Brother Don Major's little baby girl who is at the doctor because she's not breathing well. We've got Brother Sanchez had a prayer request. Just on and on, needs of people. You know how many praise reports are on this? None. Nobody in the prayer room ever just says, hey, I just want to thank God for being so good to me.
Yeah,
amen. Hey, and it's okay. It's okay to tell God our request. It's okay to go to Him in prayer. But what if you didn't have any problems? Would you ever say a word to Him?
Yeah.
I'm glad He's a refuge, but He's more than a refuge.
Amen.
You know what the Bible said? The Bible said He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother.
Yeah.
A friend's somebody you like to hang out with. A friend's somebody you like to spend time with. A friend's somebody you just like to chew the fat with. Amen. Amen. This year we will have times of trouble, no doubt about it. Try to remember when those trouble times come that He is our refuge. He is the rock that you and I can run to. Take your Bible and turn over a few pages to Psalms chapter number 31. Psalms chapter number 31. Now, times of trouble, those are some times that we probably will have. Now, here's some times that we should have. Psalms chapter number 31 and verse number 15. Psalms 31 and verse number 15. The psalmist said, my times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. He said, my times are in God's hands. What's that mean? That means my troubled times, that means my good times, my happy times, my sad times, my tough times, my bad financial times, my bad health times. It's all in God's hand. It's all in God's hand. He said, my times are in thy hand. Here's what He said. I want to take my life and put it in your hand.
Amen.
Amen. Now, boy, there's some times we need to spend this year in the Father's hands. Amen.
Amen.
I wonder how many of us could be honest and say, I know my life is not totally in the hand of God. I know He has my soul. Jesus said, if a man be in my Father's hand, nobody is able, no man can pluck him out. I understand that, but I'm talking about every aspect of our life. Is it in the Father's hand? You don't have to answer out loud, but you do have to answer. Is your entire life in God's hand? There's parts we withhold, isn't there? We don't want to give it all. I wonder what we're cheating ourselves out of. You ever lay in the bed and wonder how much better your life would be if you just let God have it? Do you ever do that? Do you ever look at yourself in the mirror and say, stupid, why don't you just let God have it? Why do you always got to be in control? Why do you got to call a shot? Why can't you just put it in His hand and leave it there? You know what we like to do? We like to come to the altar with burdens, problems, a troubled teenager or a troubled marriage or whatever the case may be. And we use that term, I just put it in God's hand. The psalmist said, I'm putting it all there. You know what I think he's saying, Brother Jason? I think he's saying, if I can trust Him with this problem and put it in His hand. I'm probably trusting with the rest of it too.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So there will be times of trouble, but let's pray that there will be times spent in God's hands. We will have times of trouble. I hope we have time in God's hands. But don't you look at one more, Psalms chapter number 34. Psalms chapter 34, and verse number 1. The psalmist said, I will bless the Lord at what? All times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I said we will have times of trouble. We should have times in God's hand. And I hope and pray we're going to have times of praise this year. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. He said, hey, I'm going to praise you all the time. Our basketball team used to have that little chant before the game started. They'd holler, God's good. Or one would holler, God's good, and the rest of them would holler all the time. If God's good all the time, we ought to be praising Him all the time.
Amen.
I never, never, ever will I apologize for folks getting happy in the service. Amen. I'm not going to apologize for somebody who just enjoys going to church, clapping their hands and waving them in the air and shouting a little bit. Amen. That bothers some people. Do you know what bothers me? Sleeping in church. Amen. I'd much rather hear you holler than snore. Amen. I'd much rather hear woo than... Amen. It ain't nap time, it's church time. Hallelujah. This ought to be a happy place. I don't know if you've looked lately, but back up out yonder and look at the name of this church. Amen. It's Happy Valley. The Bible said, happy is he whose God's the Lord. Amen. We ought to be thrilled to death when we come in here. When old Tommy gets to shouting about what God's done for his daughter, hey, I had a part in that. I helped him pray. I'm going to shout her out a little bit too. Amen. There ought to be times of praise. We ought to make up our mind when we come in this place, I'm going to worship and praise God. You say, I don't always feel like it. I don't either. Grandma used to say, just praise God anyhow. Amen. You know, it doesn't matter whether I've got a fever of 104, whether I'm as broke as a convict, or whether everything's going all right, He's still worthy of my praise.
Amen.
Amen. Take your Bible and read Revelation chapter number 4 and verse number 11 sometime. He is worthy. He is worthy. He's the only one worthy. The only one. Not no athlete. I watched a little bit of the Falcons game today. They just are bragging on that quarterback. Hey, I'll give it to you. He's pretty good. But that can be over just like that. All he's got to take is one wrong hit in the kneecap and he's done. He'll be a has-been. But you know what? Jesus never has been a has-been. He never will be a has-been. He's always been God. He said, I am the Lord, and I change not. He'll always be worthy of our worship and worthy of our praise. He deserves it.
Amen.
You say, you praising God because you've been so good? No, I'm sorry as dirt. But He's wonderful. Amen. He's wonderful. He's awesome. He deserves it. That's why I'm praising Him.
Amen.
Plus, He's been mighty good to me. I got reason. I've got reason. Have you got reason? Have you got reason? How dare us? How dare us experience the goodness and the grace of God and keep our mouth shut about it? How can we? How can we? When they get up here and start singing, God has been good in my life. How dare we sit here? How dare we sit here and keep our mouth shut when we've experienced and living in what they're singing about? Amen. I've got reason to praise Him. I've got a bunch of them. If I praised God for every reason I have, I wouldn't have time to do nothing else. You wouldn't either. You wouldn't either. You say, well, He ain't been good to me. Hey, y'all do this with me. Y'all ready? Y'all know where we're going, don't you? Now blow it out. You know what that is? That's a reason to praise God right there. Amen. That chest moving up and down. You walking upright instead of laying flat on your back in a coffin somewhere. Hey, you ought to open your mouth and say, thank you, Lord, just for letting me live one more day. Because I sure didn't deserve it. Amen.
Amen.
Times of praise. You know, we ought to have, you know, we set times for all kinds of stuff.
Yes, sir.
They're planning my little grandbaby's grandson's second birthday party. And they're figuring out a place. They're figuring out a time. They're figuring out a theme. I think it's Curious George or something like that. They're figuring everything out. You know what they're doing? They're setting a time for a specific task. We wouldn't hurt us one bit to set a specific time just to praise the Lord. Amen. It wouldn't hurt us one bit if we came in here Sunday after Sunday and Wednesday after Wednesday and say, okay, it's 7 o'clock on a Wednesday night. It's time to praise the Lord. Now let me just think about what all I've got to praise Him for. Amen. Our problem is we forget. And we take for granted everything God's done for us. So we sit in church with our arms crossed and a scowl look on our face. When we ought to be in hell. Yeah. Say amen right there. That's the truth. But boy, it's because of His grace and His mercy. Yeah, I think I can say amen to that. And I think I can say hallelujah. I think I can clap my hands and holler glory a little bit. Yeah, we're going to have a time just to praise the Lord. Amen. Times of trouble, surely we'll have. I hope we'll have time spent in God's hands. I hope we have a lot of times of praise. Take your Bible and look at Psalm 62. Psalm 62, just a few more and I'll be done. We'll baptize. Psalms chapter number 62. Look at verse number 8. Now this is where some of you are right now. This is where you need to be spending some time. The Bible said in verse number 8, trust in Him at all times. Ye people, pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us, Selah. What did He say? Trust Him. Trust Him at all times. We need to have some times of trust. Amen. Especially when everything is so upside down in our lives. And we're unsure about jobs and we're unsure about finances. And Brother Tom handed me the thing with the offering on it a while ago. We got a $5,000 a week budget. Total offering today, $2,900. You say, what's that? That's bad. You understand that? That's bad. That's real bad. And it ain't just that we've had one Sunday like this. We're having Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. Ain't nobody praying for you guys to get jobs no more than I am. Amen. Them buses are going to roll if we got to push them. He said, preacher, what are we going to do? We're going to trust God. Yes, sir. Amen. That's all we can do. Even in the bad times, even when things are going tough, we're going to have to put our trust in Him and say, God, You know what You're doing. I liked it when God asked the old prophet over that valley of dry bones. He said, son of man, can these bones live? He said, thou knowest. And that's what we're going to have to do. Thou knowest. Lord, You know what You're doing. You've got this thing in control. Whatever it is we're going through must be Your will. So God, we're just going to trust You. We're going to trust You. Even if it gets much worse than it already has, we're just going to keep our trust in You. A lot of times when tough times come in people's life, instead of increasing their trust in God, they get bitter at God. And they get mad at God. Trials are not to make us bitter. They're to make us better. Amen. They're to make us stronger. How many of you would honestly, lift your hand and say, I have come to know God in a greater depth or in a greater way through the troubles in my life? Every one of us. Oh, Brother Tommy said, I know God like I never knew Him before. It took my daughter to have cancer. Sister Stacy Williams, where's she at? Terry's wife, where you at? Oh, she's in the nursery. She stood up over here one Sunday and testified and said, I never even knew how to pray till Ashley was diagnosed with cancer. What is it? It's those trouble times. Amen. Remember when the disciples woke Jesus up in the ship and said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? He stepped out on the bow of the boat and said, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Amen. And they all looked at each other and said, far out. Yeah. You got to know Greek to get that. What manner of man is this? That even the wind and the sea obey Him.
How did they come to know God on that level? It was the trouble that they went through. Hey, let's just trust Him in 2009. Let's trust Him with the finances. They asked me in the prayer room, said, "Preacher, you got that big check in the mail yet?" You'll be the first to know. That man sends a check to pay off his building. You'll probably know it before you ever get to church because you'll hear me shouting when I open my envelope. Amen. What are you doing, preacher? I'm trusting God. I'm trusting God. I'm not trying to figure out how to get us bailed out. I started to call Obama. They bailing out everybody else. Bless God, we'll take some of it. Amen. Spread the wealth, brother. There'll surely be times of trouble. I hope there'll be times in God's hands and times of praise. I hope there'll be times of trust in our life. I hope we learn to trust God in a greater way than we ever have this year. Amen. And you know, when you put your trust in Him, He'll prove Himself to you over and over and over and over. I wonder in your heart tonight, could you say, "I really trust Him. I really, really trust Him." When I was a little boy, I got to move on, but when I was a little boy, we had a well house out in my grandmother and granddaddy's yard. There was an old well, and it had the pump, and you could crank up the water like that, and it was pretty cool. I got whippings for playing with it, but out beside that was a well house up for the newer well. And my grandfather parked his car right beside that well house, and he belonged to the old man's club up in Dallas. That meant every day about lunchtime, he went to town, sat up there, and told lies while them old men uptown. Before he'd go, I'd run out there and I'd crawl up on top of that well house. And he'd get to his car and I'd say, "Papa, catch me." And I'd jump just as far as I could. Arms stretched out just like that. You know what that was? That was trust. That was trust. I remember one time I jumped before I hollered at him. And he caught me out of the corner of his eye and grabbed me like that with one hand. And he said, "Boy, you got to let Papa know when you're going to jump." I just believed. I just believed he'd catch me no matter what. And I'm glad I'm serving a God who can catch me no matter what, no matter how high I jump from, no matter how far I fall. I've got a God I can put my trust in. Hallelujah. He's never failed me. Amen. Times of trust. We ought to have more times of trust.
Amen.
Amen. Psalms 106. A couple more. Y'all doing okay? We'll be done in just a minute. Psalms 106. See, look at verse number 3. Psalms 106 and verse number 3. The Bible said, "Blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at all times." We ought to have times of righteousness in our life this year. I won't stay here long, but let me just put it simply this way. We ought to just do right. We ought to just do right. Old Bob Jones Sr. at Bob Jones University, he's dead and in heaven, but that was one of his famous sayings, "Just do right." Nike says, "Just do it." We ought to say, "Just do right." Amen. Just do right. Just do right. You know what? We ought to do right by each other. We ought to do right by each other. I hope if I leave this world before Brother Charles does, I hope he'll be able to stand by my casket and say, "Oh, Brother Eddie always done me right. He never done me wrong." You ever done somebody wrong? Rest of you's lying. We ought to purpose in our heart that we're going to do right by our friends, by our family, by the people we work with. We're just going to do right.
Yes.
Amen. There's enough wickedness in this world. There's enough mean people backstab. I'm talking about people dying on their way to hell. We're supposed to be saved. Amen. Surely we can be nice to each other. And surely we can do right by each other. Amen. We ought to just do right. Amen. Psalms 106 and verse 43. Same chapter. He said, "Many times did he deliver them, But they provoked him with their counsel and were brought low for their iniquity. He said, many times did he deliver them. We'll have times of trouble. I hope we'll have times in God's hand, times of praise, times of trust, times of righteousness. But I'm praying for some of you that we'll have times of deliverance. I'm praying, Sister Laurie, I'm praying that you're going to have a time of deliverance this year. God sees your affliction. He knows the pain of chemotherapy and what you're going through. And I believe He's one who is able to reach down and pluck us out of whatever it is that we're going through.
Amen.
Amen. Sometimes it seems like He lets you walk through trouble a little longer than at other times. And I think sometimes it just takes us a little longer to get it. Those disciples, they toiled and struggled. They bailed and bailed. Professional fishermen. Been in many, 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 many storms. Finally, they woke him up. The Bible said he is asleep on a pillow, but he knew exactly what was going on. He knew exactly how much water the boat had in it. He knew exactly how much more those disciples could take. He had it under control. He said, okay, they've had enough. And he rebuked the wind and spoke to the wave and said, peace be still. And he knows how much you can handle. And he knows right where you're at with your finances, with the church's finances, with the health situations. He knows. Amen? And he's able to deliver. How many of you believe that? I do. I believe with all my heart. I don't think there's anything my God can't do. Anything. He can do whatever He wants. Now, I'm not one of these who run around commanding Him to do this and that. That's an idiot. Amen. I ain't telling God to do nothing. I'll ask Him. Amen. I ask Him to heal Ashley. I've asked Him to heal Lori. And I'm going to keep asking. Amen. I don't know about you, but I still pray for Ashley every day. Even though they say there's no cancer. Man, I'm not going to stop thanking God for that. And I'm not going to stop praying. God, don't let it come back. Amen.
Amen.
Times of deliverance. Some of you are just about there. You're so close. You're so close. Don't quit too soon. Don't give up just yet. See, the Bible says the Lord knows the end from the beginning.
Amen.
And everything that's in between. You and I don't know what tomorrow holds. Wednesday night, I believe it was Tuesday night, I forgot what I was even preaching. And Brother Todd, my son-in-law, he owns a painting contracting company and been hurting for work. Got him a little part-time job just to try to make some extra money. And I was preaching on Tuesday night, and I said, Brother Todd, don't give up. You may get that call tomorrow, and that big job's going to come in. He called me the next day. He said, you ain't believe this. He said, we turned in a bid on a $10,000 job. Man, just call. We start Monday.
Yes,
amen. Ain't that a blessing?
Yes,
got to go over and start that job tomorrow. Hallelujah. What if he'd have quit in the process? God may have said no. You don't trust me, you don't get the job.
Amen.
Don't quit too quick. You don't. If we could see what God has for us around the corner, my. Some of you who've never shouted would probably just have a spell.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yes,
if you could just see what God's got for us, don't give up.
Right.
Don't quit too soon.
Amen.
I thought about my mother. She ran the same bus route at our home church for 25 years. 25 years. Till this day, her and Pop can be walking through Walmart and some grown man comes over and starts hugging on my mama. It's a wonder Pop hadn't cut somebody. When they were dating, everywhere they'd go, some grown man had come up and holler, Mama. I bet Pop was wondering, what have I got myself into? Yeah, bless his heart. What I'm trying to say is she stayed in that thing long enough to see the end of it. She stayed in it long enough to see the fruit of it. She stayed in it long enough to see pastors. Pastors' wives. Missionaries. Unreal. Timmy Newton is assistant to Brother Larry Brown down in North Augusta. They run about 3,000 every Sunday, little old bitty church. That's one of my mother's bus kids. Right down the street here, Brother Jeff Bird's preaching at Gateway tonight. His wife, Kathy, is one of my mother's bus kids. Amen. Don't quit.
That's right.
Don't quit.
Amen.
You don't know what God's got in store. Amen.
That's right.
Back up and go to Proverbs right quick. I'm almost done. Some of y'all are already. Proverbs chapter number 17. Proverbs chapter number 17. I said there'd be times of trouble. We need to have times in God's hands, times of praise, times of trust, times of righteousness, times of deliverance. Let me give you one more. Proverbs chapter 17, and look at verse number 17. The Bible said a friend loveth at what? All times. And a brother is born for adversity. We ought to have some times of love this year. Amen. Some independent fundamental preachers are scared to preach on the love of God. Not me. Not me. We got to love each other. We got to love each other. You know what? When we really love each other, we don't stab each other in the back. We don't talk about each other if we really love each other. Do you want me to say that again? I said we don't talk about each other and gossip about each other when we love each other.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Somebody in your immediate family makes a bad mistake. You know what you try to do? Conceal it. But let somebody in somebody else's family make the same mistake. You no longer are in the concealment mode. You no longer want to conceal it. You want to reveal it. That's not love, friend. That's hate. We okay? Y'all nod your heads. It ain't time to pray. People who love each other don't destroy each other's lives. Let me tell you something else. People who love each other forgive one another. Are you listening? People who love each other forgive one another. Oh yeah. Somebody say, anybody ever done you wrong, preacher? Pastor in the same church for 16 years? Yeah. So what do you do? I just forgive them. What if they don't ask you? I just forgive them anyway. Amen. Why? Because I got to love them. How do you preach to and pastor people you don't love? I can't do it. I can't do it. I've got to love them. So if I got to love them, I got to forgive them. Whether they want me to or not. Amen. Boy, it got quiet, Brother Freddie. It got quiet. People who love each other don't act that way. Did y'all hear him? Y'all hear me? People who love each other don't act that way. People who love each other, you know what they do? They forbear one another. What's that mean? Put up with. You got anybody that gets on your nerve? Say hallelujah right there. You know, I got people in my family that get on my nerve. You know what I do? I forbear them. I put up with them. Amen. Hey, people in this church get on my nerve. Everybody's going, is it me? Is it me? Probably. I love you. And I take you just like you are. Faults, failures, the whole nine yards. All your little quirks, everything. I take it all. Amen. I even love Robbie in his crayon-colored suits he wears. I get excited just to see what color he's going to have on. He looks like a lime sitting up there tonight. Or lime sherbet, amen. I love him. We okay tonight? Remember what the Lord said the greatest commandment was? He said the greatest commandment that we love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. But he said the second commandment was like unto it, that we love our neighbor as we love our own self. That's commandment. He said he commanded us that we love one another. It's not a suggestion. Do you know, I could stop every church split in America if people just get hold of this. Just learn to love each other. You can't have a crowd this size and never be a disagreement. We're not robots, we're individuals. What do? We agree to disagree and we go on. Why? Because we love each other. Amen. Well, well. I probably ought to get off of that. Amen. Furthermore, I think we ought to tell one another. I'll never forget, look at Proverbs 24, last scripture. I'll never forget a man and woman sitting in my office. Young couple. Home about to bust up. And she's just a crying, and he's sitting there hard as a brick. She said, he never tells me he loves me. I looked over at him and I said, well, he said, my daddy never told me he loved me. I said, I can't help your daddy was stupid. Amen. You better tell that girl you love her, you want to keep her, amen. It don't hurt to say it. The only thing that would keep you from telling somebody, hey, I love you, brother, I've been praying for you. The only thing that keep you from doing that is pride. Amen. Somebody says, well, it's just not manly. I guess Jesus was a sissy, right? Toughest man that ever lived on the face of this earth. He is a man enough to take your whooping and my whooping, your beating and my beating, bear all your sin in his body. I'd say he's very much a man. Amen. We ought to spend some time loving a little better. Amen. We talk about loving sinners. You can't love sinners if you don't love one another. Amen. You can't love a world that's dying and going to hell if you can't even love each other. Some of these preachers kill me. All they do is sit around and talk about one another.
Amen.
It's easy to get caught up in that junk. I was in, I was in Pennsylvania, and there were several preachers there in the meeting. We were all sitting and having a meal together, and this one preacher had messed up. He had ran around on his wife, lost his church and his family, and they were sitting around that table, and they were just there's about 10 or 12 of them, just sitting there openly talking about this man. And what he had done, how bad he messed up. Finally, Brother Earl Hughes, if you don't know Brother Earl, just an old mountain preacher, he said, boys, that's a good man. Y'all pray for him. Didn't scold nobody. He just said, boys, that's a good man. Y'all pray for him. I think the heart of every preacher around that table was pricked to the core by that old man's words. And there was a space of silence for about 5 minutes. Nobody said nothing else. If we loved him like we said we loved him, we wouldn't have been talking about it. Amen. If we loved each other like we say we love each other, we'd check on each other a little more than what we did. Amen. Friend loveth at all times. Just some times that we can expect to have this year. Let's stand to our feet. Brother Todd, y'all come. Somebody was here this morning and asked me to open the church door, open the doors of church tonight for membership. Are they here? Yes, there they are. We'll do that. If you're here and you've been saved and baptized, your church membership somewhere else.